through 11 right now. All the children ages 2, 3, 11 can be dismissed. And their teachers will be right outside. And I just want to say thank everybody for being here this morning. I was telling my daughter, my wife, I'm so excited to hear Pastor preach again. Amen. And like I kept telling you guys, it's just a matter of time. You know, God is never late. God is never early. He's always on time. Amen. You can depend on Him for that. And, you know, Pastor, I'm just so happy to see you here. I love you, bro.
Yeah, I'll take the stand just in case I need it. As Mario said, I have not ministered since December. My wife and I were not expecting this thing, and I got hit with pneumonia and then the flu, and there was some type of virus that I got caught with, and there's a medical term called code blue. That's when somebody's dying. Well, I died and rose three times. So God is faithful. God is faithful. There's still so many things to be done, and it's an awesome feeling to be back here with you all. I came on Father's Day, but I didn't speak. My son, who's been so gracious, has done an excellent work of ministry here, and I thank him for it. But again, it's good to be with you all. If you got your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I want to tell you what we're in the midst of. We're in the midst of rightly dividing the word of truth. For example, how many of y'all knew that Matthew 1:1 is not the beginning of the New Testament? It isn't. In fact, when Jesus came, he still taught a lot of the Old Testament because that's where they were in the Old Testament. They were not in the New Testament yet. That did not begin until the resurrection. Remember what he told Nicodemus? He says, "You're a ruler of Israel, and you know not what I'm speaking? What can you possibly be telling the people?" See, it's not about a garment, about some apparel, something that you wear, something that you pray to, or you use for prayer. It was all about Him. Jesus said, "I did not come to destroy, but I came rather to fulfill." So, in Hebrews chapter 1, it says that God, in sundry times, spoke to us in times past by the prophets, has now, in these last days, spoken to us through the Son. So, the Bible, we've got to understand, is made up of a lot of things that God didn't say. For example, the book of Job. There's a lot of things in the chapters of Job that God did not speak, that God did not release, but yet they're there. And people take them for Bible. They take it for truth. And God never said that. Remember the 10 lepers when they came to Jesus? And he said that he sent them away to go and see the priest. That's not New Testament. That's Old Testament. But they were still in that time where they could not understand. So a lot of things that Jesus spoke, he did not speak to the multitude. He spoke to the disciples. He was raising up leaders. We've showed you before that the word apostolic is more of a strategic term for a military device. They would go in, they would conquer the land, and after they would conquer the land, the home base would send what they call apostles. And these apostles would go in and change the culture, the laws of the land. If not, in just a few generations, that land that had been defeated would remain, the culture would remain, the laws would remain, and then go back to being the same kind of people all over again. So what Jesus was telling Timothy, he said, look, son, you're just starting out in the ministry. And because you're starting out, we want you to rightly divide the word of truth so that when it's divided, it's appropriated in the right fashion, people can grow and change. Look, it's this simple. Who said what you're saying? It's one or the other. Either God said it or the enemy said it. And we know that he is the father of all lies. So what we say, it's like it says in Matthew. When this gospel is preached, then he's coming. Here's the problem. That gospel that he's referring to is barely begun to be preached. That's why he hasn't come. He said, when this gospel, what gospel? The gospel of the assemblies? Of the Baptist? Of the Pentecostal? No. He says, when this gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 4:17, it says, from this time on, Jesus began to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Now, who is he making reference to? John the Baptist. He said, no greater prophet. And remember what he said in Hebrews. God spoke to mankind through the prophets. And the reason why John was the greatest of the prophets is because he saw the one that he prophesied about. The others didn't. They spoke of the days to come. They spoke of the time where the Son of Man would come, but they never saw it occur or be fulfilled. John did. That's why Jesus referred to him as the greatest of all prophets. So when you read the word, you've got to rightly divide. Like, I'm sure you've heard the scripture, women keep silent. You know what that means, right? Now, who said it? Did Jesus say it? Here he is in John chapter 3, talking with Nicodemus, who's a ruler of Israel and doesn't understand who Jesus is. John chapter 4, here's a woman who had been married 5 times and now living with a man. And he totally reveals himself to her. She goes back into the street and says, come and see if this is not the Messiah. So in 3, he's got a ruler of Israel whose eyes are shut. And in John chapter 4, the very next chapter, he's revealing his messiahship to a woman of adultery. That's amazing. And that's not the message of the church. We still divide people today because of their background. So it's not the gospel of the kingdom. That's a totally different gospel, where there's only one king. And it's not some ministry with 10,000 people. That's not a king. That's just someone that has a lot of followers, that's all. There's one king, and he's the king of all kings. His name is Jesus. So see, people try to raise their ministry by certain people that they have, whether it's a song leader or a great orator, and that's how they build their ministry. But see, it's not about building a church around great people. It's about having a ministry of people who are great in the sight of God. Look how backwards it is. Jesus said, "The greatest among you are those who serve." Here is the man waiting for 33 years to complete his calling. John 12 says, "Unless a kernel of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it'll bring forth much fruit." Look at the fruit that is still coming forth today because of the seed that Jesus sowed. So here he is, 33 years later, and who's the one washing the disciples' feet? He didn't go to the table and expect to be served. He took the basin. You know who would take the basin and wash people's feet? The slaves. That was a slave's job. Not even someone who took care of the home. A slave would come in and wash the feet on these men who had been out there traveling. And who's the one that took that job at hand? Jesus, the Son of God. He knew who he was. He didn't need anyone to serve him. And look at the church today. We got ministers who won't even carry their own Bible. Somebody's got to carry it for them. Carry a towel for them. What the hell is that? That's not church. I can open my own door. I don't need somebody to open the door and show me the way to the pulpit. I see it. And that's the church today. And we wonder why the crowd is not following us. We've preached the wrong gospel. So we are in the midst right now of rightly dividing the word of truth. And you have to go back to the beginning and find the law of first mention to find out what it was that God said about that thing and how God is not going to change his mind. He told Adam, "I give you all dominion to subdue, to have authority, to put everything that I have given you and to put it in a management mode where man will do the ruling. What I have done in the heavens, you will do on the earth. What did God do in the heavens? He kicked Satan out. What did Adam do? He conversed with him. And the only thing that Satan could do was give him a lie. So to this point, what you know about the Word, who told you? Jesus said in three chapters, John 14, 15, and 16, he said, I'm going to send you someone. He's Holy Spirit. He's like me, but in another state. He'll be with you. He's going to teach you all things. And those things that he teaches you, he will set you free. So why are so many in bondage in the church today? Because he's not the one who taught you that truth. He's called the Spirit of Truth. So as we are rightly dividing the word of truth, that's what's going to set you free. Nothing else. Not your parents' traditions, not your upbringing, unless it was a truth that breaks every shackle and every lie. You've heard the term stronghold. What's a stronghold? It's anything that you fall under that is in disagreement with God. That's what it is. A stronghold is something that binds you because it's something that God didn't say, but you have taken it for a truth, and because of it, now it has you bound. It has you under a spell, a stronghold. And many Christians are that way. So when the Apostle Paul, we know that he was married. You all know that, right? Because you could not be a Pharisee without being married. Do you know that? He had to be married. Now, whether his wife passed away, or we don't know what happened, but he didn't remain that way. So there's things that the apostle said that has to line up with the rest of Scripture. But you go back to the law first mentioned, and here is this woman that is so degraded by man who met him face to face. She met the Lord God Almighty face to face, walked with him in the cool of the garden, spoke with him, conversed with him, heard firsthand what God Almighty had to say. And now she can't stand behind a pulpit? Somebody knock me on the head because I'm not getting it. But somebody will take one verse and make a whole denomination out of it. It's crazy. We are free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed, male or female. Because God created them, male and female, created he them. So the church has some work to do, and that's to rightly divide out of 2 Timothy 3:16. chapter 2, verse 15. Now, this is something that I'm not learning in a book. This is somewhere I'm finding, jointly knitting it all together. And this kind of cancels this out. This puts new meaning to that. And before you know it, you've got a message that Jesus preached. See, I always thought he went to the mountaintop and he spoke to the multitude. Did you know they didn't? The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, that's where Jesus talks about not coming to destroy the law, but fulfilling the law. It says that he went on the side of the mountain and the multitude gathered to him. But he turned to the side and spoke to the disciples. Read it. It's there. So what he was doing was raising up 12 leaders to strategically send them as, he didn't send them as ministers. He sent them as apostles to do what? To teach the culture of heaven. Because Jesus came and he said, I have been given all power in heaven and in earth. So how much power does Satan have left? If Jesus has it all, then he's got it all. So for 3.5 years, he spoke into those men who were his disciples, who became apostolic to teach the culture of heaven. That's why he dealt with the adulterous woman in a different way. Because in the church, she's no good. In the kingdom, she's a child of the king. You see the difference? So he's raising up an apostolic team to go and deposit the culture of heaven. So that way, those that have been set free don't get bound to the culture anymore. I mean, I know people who love the Lord. They don't miss church. They love God, carry their Bibles, study, do everything they're supposed to do, and yet don't get along with their spouse. What kind of a gospel is that? My wife, she's first in my life, even over my children. And my children are here. They know not to mess with mama, because that's my honey. So this statement, I can't fully express it to you. And I'm having a hard time talking because all the stuff I've gone through, and it took out my thyroid, took out my gallbladder. I'm not the full way I was back in December, but I'm alive. So that's where we're at. If you want to know, where is Church of Acts right now? We are in the midst of rightly dividing the word of truth. Just one book, the book of Job. Read about his friends Zophar and Bildad. They spoke things that aren't true. but yet they're written in Scripture. And people will read it and take it for Bible, and it's not. Now, this might offend you, but I'm not trying to. You've got to be set free from the mindset that you've been bound to. Because you can come and say, yes, amen, hallelujah to that, I agree with you, but don't get into my business with my marriage. I deal with my marriage the way I want to. Nobody's going to tell me how to run it. My parenting, don't mess with my parenting. I know how to put my kids in order. And especially, don't get into my wallet. Stay out of my wallet. Don't tell me what to do. You go back to Exodus. And God said, Moses, go and tell the Pharaoh to let my people go. And he began the compromise. We'll let all the men go, but not the family and not your cattle. What was he saying? Can't take your family with you, and can't take your riches with you. So immediately, Satan tried to get Pharaoh to compromise. What was the word? Tell him to let my people go. God didn't change his mind. Man was contemplating. Well, at least he's letting the men go. What do we say? Well, it's better than nothing. So we begin to compromise on what God has told us. It is time that we learn to rightly divide the word of truth. Here is the master builder, the Apostle Paul. And remember, it says that straightway he went to preach. But Paul was discipled for years before he was sent out to release the message of the kingdom. Now, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees from the tribe of Benjamin, a zealot. If you want to go and compare credentials, nobody here would have come close to him in his day. He had credentials like no other. But yet, what he had was still Old Testament. And he had to learn the ways of the kingdom to be able to be released, and did what he did. So he tells Timothy, Timothy, I must exhort you. You must learn the ways of the kingdom. If not, you are misrepresenting God the Father. See, we'll read the Bible, and in some places, we think God's upset. In other places, he's joyful. Oh, I'm glad I made man. I can't stand man. I'm going to take you off the earth. Well, who is he? What is he? You see him to the face of Jesus. And you don't see the Lord going, you know, I shouldn't have picked you jerks. You guys are horrible. You're with me one day and against me the next day. I don't need you guys. He was always the same. So God, who at sundry times and divers manners has now as the express image of the Father spoken to us. I'll leave you with this. The Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17, must have been a sight to see. Jesus was metamorphosized right in front of them. He changed. It says he was whiter than snow. There was thunder. There was a voice. But they couldn't make it out. And Jesus was standing there with a descendant power. Not something coming down, but something rising up from within him. And as he's being metamorphosized, Peter says something very traditional. Should I make three tabernacles? And the Father says, still don't get it, do you? Do you know what you're talking about? Now, who were the two men that were there at the Transfiguration? Moses and Elijah. Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law and every word of the prophets. So he's saying, how dare you compare Jesus to the prophets? And how dare you compare the law to the fulfiller of the law? And what did the Father tell James, John, and Peter? This is my Son. Hear him. He didn't say, go and gather all the prophetic books and study them. He says, whatever my Son says, that's gold. And you don't need anything else. So we've got to get back to rightly dividing the word of truth on that which Jesus said and no one else. God bless you, saints.
Before we're totally dismissed, I just want to give God all the glory and all the honor, okay? For what he has done and for what he continues to do. Amen? Sister Josette, do you want to come up here? Amen. Remember what Pastor said? Dividing the word of truth. Amen? Now, we know that in Matthew 21:22, I believe it says, is that when you pray, do not doubt, and God will answer your prayers. Amen? So, I believe that with this new teaching that is coming forth, we're going to learn to pray with such an authority, because God gave you that authority. Amen? He says, have dominion. Right? So, I want Josette to share her story up here. Amen?
I think it was about like maybe 2-3 weeks ago when I stood up here and I just kind of just shared with a lot of y'all. Maybe some of you weren't here, but I was diagnosed with cancer. And I didn't want to go through chemo. I didn't want to go through none of that junk. And we went to the doctor, my husband and I. And of course, you know, he says, chemo's not going to work on you. Nothing's going to work on you. He wanted to send me to hospice already. but God. And my husband and I just said we're going to go through chemo. We went through it a week later. I started to be able to eat, and I couldn't do anything running. I couldn't eat or anything. I would just lay in bed. But my family just, you know, they supported me all the way and everything. Going through chemo, it exhausts you. You get tired. I went through chemo this past week, and we might have another one or two more just to make sure that he gets everything. But Brother Mario had had asked everybody to just stretch your hands forward. That when we would go to surgery this past week on Tuesday, that they wouldn't find anything.
Yes, Lord.
And the night before, I prayed and I cried and I said, God, there's so many testimonies going on all over the world. Why not me? I'm a candidate. I said, I want to go. I want to go in that room where the doctor says there's nothing, nothing. And I've been under, and I noticed that it takes longer, but this time it was just so fast. And I asked the nurse, I said, and of course she couldn't tell me much, but I said, what time is it? That was the first thing, because it just seemed so soon. And it was just 1 hour later. And I said, well, gosh, recovery time was going to be about an hour. So what happened, you know? So they take me to another room. And I'm already crying before my family gets there. And because I knew that God did something, I just knew it. So my husband comes in. My sisters, they all come in. And I want everybody here to know that even though we see my sister the way she is, and when we walked into that room, then the doctor came out and told us, we went in with a scope, and we don't have to do the surgery. There's no cancer. And I'm telling you people, it's only the beginning. It is only the beginning of what God is about to do and what God is about to show everybody here. I want you guys to know my sister is a fighter. That's because she knows who lives inside of her. My sister and my pastor here is a fighter. I give God all the glory, all the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. On the way back from the hospital, I couldn't even talk. But I told my husband, I have to call El Mero Bueno. And it was my pastor. Because Pastor has always believed in me. And I know he's always prayed for me. And I know that he loves me. Thank you all for all your prayers.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all continue to pray for Sister Josette, though. I know how the fatigue that you know, how the chemo can bring so much fatigueness to your body. I know because I've been there. I've been through that. But God is faithful. Amen? That 3 weeks ago when we were up here and Josette was giving her testimony, the Lord says, now you pray for her. You prophesy over her with authority. That's what he told me. And that's why I said, you know, Josette, we're believing. And I had the whole congregation praying. We're going to believe that you don't need no surgery, that the cancer is gone. We cursed it to its very root. Amen? Now listen, people, this is what church really is all about. Amen? It's not about coming over here feeling all happy, singing hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, praise you, Lord, and then walking out of here with the same old burden. Catch my drift? God is for real. Amen? And if he could do it for me, he'll do it for her. And he did it for her. Amen? And if he did it for her, he'd do it for Pastor. Amen? If he did it for Pastor, he can do it for Brother Art. Art, stand up if you can. Can you stand up, Art, or you can stand up? I want you all to extend your hands this way. This is my brother, Art Gallegos. I haven't seen him in years. And because of an injury that he has in his lower back, he has paralyzing spasms of his lower back. He broke his tailbone some time back. But I believe that God is gonna heal Brother Art in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your healing virtue, your healing power, Father God. I speak a word of healing over Art's back right now in the name of Jesus. I command every bone, every muscle, every tendon, Lord, every nerve to come to its original state in the name of Jesus, Lord. We give you all the glory and all the honor, Father God, for I believe it and I say it and I speak it forth now and it is done in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let me tell you, people, if you don't believe what you pray for, don't waste your breath. Amen? I'm just being honest, man. I believe it every time I pray for someone. And I'm not saying that boastfully, but I believe what my Father can do. Amen? I may not see it right away, but I'll see it 2 weeks or 3 weeks later. Amen? But I will see it. Everybody's dismissed. God bless you. We love you. Adios.